just to give you a little introduction, if there are no more questions about Thousand Eight, Panchamakar is a very famous portion of the Tantric Puja. They are called the five M's in English because they all begin with the letter Ma, which is translated as M. And it's been a long time since we've done the puja. The five M's, monks, much, Madeira, Moitun, and Mudra. Monks, much, Madeira, Moitun, and Mudra. Five M's. Monks, much, Moitun, Madeira, Mudra. They all begin with the letter Mo. And monks means meat. Much means fish. Madeira means alcohol, spirit. Moitun means copulation. And mudra means parched grain. Some rice, drink some wine, eat some fish and meat, and then have sex. And that's called a tantric puja by those who are not initiated. Now, the inner meaning of this goes much deeper. Mudra, the parched grain, is taking the nourishment from the earth. Monks, the meat, is all the physical things that we bring into our consciousness through the senses. That is, the objects of perception, of sensory perception. All that is known empirically. Our relationship to the outside world. Much are the fish which swim in the Ganga and the Jamuna, the Ira and the Pingala, through pranayama.
Sorry, what did you say they were swimming
in? They swim in the Ganga and Jamuna.
What is it that swims in the Ganga and Jamuna?
The life force, the prana.
Okay.
The pranas, through pranayama, are the fish. Do you remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go around and say, enjoy the embrace of your beloved and have some fish soup? And what he meant by that, he invited everybody, come and have some fish soup and enjoy the embrace of your beloved. And what he was saying is, when you start to cry with sincere longing for God, your tears will taste very salty like fish soup. And when you fall on the ground in ecstasy because you can't maintain your bodily awareness any longer, your devotion is so great that you hug the ground, you'll be hugging your beloved. That was Chaitanya's invitation. The spirit is the spirit of devotion, the nectar of immortal bliss. And the union is the union between the Shakti in the Muladhara and the Shiva in the Sahasrara. So we bring Shakti to the home of Shiva by bringing all the objects of our senses inside, practicing pranayama, becoming one with nourishing the earth and giving forth our best. And this is the puja of the Panchamakar. Now, as Tantra is the application of all spiritual knowledge to life, the practical application. Tantra means to weave, like the warp and the woof of cloth. And it means to weave together all our knowledge into a synthesis. The synthesis of all knowledge designed to take us to union with God is Tantra. One portion, a very small portion, of Tantra deals with how do you live a dharmic life in manifested existence. Some people teach that portion as Tantra. In our next section, we're going to talk about how do we give birth to spiritual children? What are the mantras used? How do we consecrate the wine, the nectar of devotion? How do we prepare the bhang, and why do we take it? That's part of this next. And how do we slay the animal? How do we perform the animal sacrifice or the sacrifice of our own animalism? All the nature that comes from our lowest chakras that we don't want to have anymore. How do we take all the ego and put it on that pumpkin? Cut it. Offer it. The sacrifice of animalism, not necessarily someone else's life, but our own animalistic nature. And this is the subject of our next session. Oh, that's a brief introduction as to what we're going to be talking about. Do you have any questions about it?
Swami, what was the incident that made the first priest, for lack of a better word, actually do a sacrifice of another being instead of the sacrifice of the self to the self?
It was customary in the Vedic times for kings to perform sacrifices. They weren't all vegetarians. The first Vedic people, the first people, were hunters and gatherers. And the hunters did go out and hunt for, and they ate meat. They ate a non-vegetarian diet. And then they decided through the Vedic period that this was an offering of one life for the sustenance of another life. And it should be done with so many rules of purity, cleanliness, respect, and sharing. And it was a tribal offering. It wasn't like going to your local supermarket and buying shrink-wrapped meat. We killed the animal with mantras, sanctity, with purity and appreciation, and did it ourselves, and then shared it with the priests, with the community. We made it an offering to the gods and to the goddesses, and sanctified it with mantras, and then shared it with the entire community for the nourishment of the community. And that was the concept of eating meat. Now, in the Chandi, in the Poikritik Rahasya, we'll find that Biprajan Barjit. It's forbidden to those who are twice born. But it was a custom of the kings and the soldiers and the kshatriyas to eat meat. And the Brahmins would guide them as to the dharmic way to do that. So the Vedic rishis were vegetarian, but the kings that participated in the sacrifices during the Veda were not. So as long as you're going to eat the meat, then do it in a spiritual way.
Swamiji, is that the same thing as halal? Halal?
Yes.
Same thing?
It comes from a different tradition. This is in the Vedic times. Halal is, it comes from a Puranic tradition.
Oh, it's not Muslim? It's not Muslim.
But it came through the laws of kosher are very similar to that as well. How do you keep and maintain a very spiritual environment and attitude while you're creating this sacrifice?
In the bigger picture, though, it's everything is meat that's going into this.
In the bigger picture, everything that's coming in is food for the mind.
So it's all meat.
It's all meat. It's all the perception.
That's why I'm a meathead.
It's inherent in our nature. Everything that comes into our mind through our senses. It's all the food of the, it's all gross food that's coming into the subtle body.
So as they needed more grosser things to feed, as the, I don't know, as the body became more dense or something, as time evolved, then in time they lost track of the meaning of meat and it became like an animal as opposed to something which is feeding and nourishing itself.
Very, very possible that that's the sequence of events. However, we find that, you know, in ancient history, and I go back to when, you know, cavemen were meat eaters. And as they evolved to greater degrees of subtlety, they began to gather more than to hunt. And so that by the time the Brahmins came along, they said, well, we don't need meat at all. We're going to close off all our senses and be nourished inside. We'll only have the fish. And that's really the meaning and the application of the Panchamalkar. Did you have a question, Janardhan?
No, it was when you said the fish is the prana of life, I made a joke, the piranha of life.
Oh, the piranha of life. Uh-oh. Well, I don't want to inhale him too much. I might be consumed by my own piranha. I am. I am Piranha. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.